Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Swimming with Narwhals podcast. On today's episode, I sit down with Kayla Hang of Black Sheep Culture. We discuss her journey from a tattoo apprentice to running her own tattoo studio and having mentors herself. Please enjoy our conversation. Hi, Kayla. Welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
I am doing great. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. I'm very excited about today. Can you please tell me a little bit about Black Sheep Culture and what it's all about?
Yeah, so Black Sheep Culture is a private tattoo studio that I opened in January 2020, you know, perfect timing,
but
at the time it was just called K Inks, which was just based off of my Instagram handle at the time. I just always knew that was going to be a placeholder name, but yeah, now it's turned into Black Sheep Culture officially, and there's me and two other artists that I have in the studio, and it's been amazing just experiencing my studio grow and just having essentially my two really good friends join me, and we get to make cool stuff together all the time. So
that is awesome. I love it. I freaking love it. I'm so excited about this interview today because I love tattoos, and
heck yeah,
what better person to have on than my first tattoo artist?
Oh, yes, I love that.
Yeah. So how did you get into tattooing?
Yeah, so honestly, it was kind of random. I have to give the backstory, right? So in college, I was just dating this guy at the time who was going to go get tattoos. And I was like, cool, I like tattoos, I have them, I'll just tag along, right? And yep. So I was just making small talk with this artist, you know, and I didn't even tell him that I was going to school for graphic design or that I even liked art, really. I didn't talk about art at all. And this guy just randomly says, this might sound weird, but I feel like you'd be good at tattooing. And I was like, that is weird. You don't even know me. But yeah, so then nothing really came out of that interaction. But he became like my tattoo artist that I would go to since I was newer to the Milwaukee area. And so, yeah, after about getting tattooed by him, like over the span of a year during one of our sessions, he had mentioned that he had been considering taking on an apprentice. And if I was interested, he would only consider taking me on as his first apprentice. And me, you know, getting this tattoo 6 months away from graduating, I was like, no thanks. I immediately shut him down, and he was just kind of like, okay, well, you know, keep it in the back of your mind. And I was like, yeah, I already had this plan, right? Yeah, so basically, though, fast forward, I did graduate, did freelance graphic design, and 6 months after I graduated, I was like, is this my life? And then I reached out to him, and yeah, that's when we officially made it happen, so a year after he had initially asked me.
That's pretty interesting that he had this thought that you would be a good artist based on, was there any, like, art that he saw of yours, or was it just, like, he just felt like you were going to be a good tattoo artist?
Literally, when I asked him why he thought that, his only explanation, because this is like my first time meeting this guy, right?
Okay.
Like, it's my boyfriend at the time who was getting tattooed, not me.
And oh, wow. Spicy.
Yeah. So it wasn't even me getting tattooed. It was my boyfriend at the time. And so, yeah, I asked him, I was like, why do you think that? And he just said, oh, I feel like you are a genuine person. And that was it. And I just thought that was so strange.
That is strange. I mean, now fast forward a couple of years, we know it's worked out, and it's worked out well.
Right. Yeah. Like, he saw the potential in me that I never knew I had, or even the interest that I never had. So
now you graduated from college with a bachelor's degree in fine arts for design and visual communication.
Yes.
All of a sudden you take a left turn and you get into tattooing.
Yeah.
I just have a question on that. What did your parents think when you told them about that?
Well, I feel like my I'm very grateful and lucky to have the parents that I do, because they've just, like, growing up, they've always encouraged us to, like, explore our creative endeavors, I guess, or interests, so to speak. So I've always been drawing as, like, a little toddler. I made my grandpa draw with me. I was always in art classes and art clubs in school. So I don't think they were necessarily surprised the shift from graphic design to tattooing.
Okay.
Really, when I told them, my mom was just like, "Well, if that's something you want to do, then go ahead and give it a try. But, be smart, save some money, because you still have rent and bills to pay." So, yeah. And so, honestly, I think that was just the biggest risk, because my parents fully supported me, and yeah, I just had to make sure that I was being smart, because when I had reached out to La, my tattoo mentor, about starting the apprenticeship, he was like, he basically said, "Yeah, I'm still open to it, but if you do want to do this, then quit all your jobs." And I was like, "Oh shit, okay, sorry, I don't know if you can swear
Oh
on your
yeah. Definitely, definitely.
podcast, but yeah." So that was definitely huge. Not that I was, like, making, like, hella bank before anyways, just doing freelance graphic design, but
Yeah. No,
it,
that's a
when you first start as a tattoo apprentice, you make nothing.
I was gonna get into that, but I'm
Yeah.
it's really cool that your parents were very supportive of you, because I can only imagine if I would have been in that situation, my parents would have been, the reaction would have been very different.
Oh, yes. The funny thing is, they fully support me being a tattoo artist, but they've always made it known that, like, can you stop getting tattoos now? So that's different.
Well, we definitely know once you start, it's hard to stop.
Yes, indeed.
So I want to talk a little bit about your apprenticeship.
Yeah.
What all goes into that process? Like, how do you start? How does
Yes.
the apprenticeship start?
So, I mean, from my experience and having talked to many other artists about their experiences, it can vary quite a bit, actually, depending on who your mentor is or the shop that you work at. So, I can only speak for my experience
Sure.
personally. Yeah, when I first started with La, I think he just really had a lot of trust in me in general, like, more than I had in myself
Okay.
when it came to, like, the skill of it. So he, before I ever tattooed any, like, live human being, I practiced, like, a couple times on, the silicone fake skin and pig skin, actually.
Okay.
But, they're not accurate, like, to how they feel or absorb the ink like human skin is. And honestly, when I think back on it, I think I only tattooed the fake skin maybe twice, and then pig skin maybe twice, before he was already like, "Okay, you can just start tattooing on people for free now." And I was like, "Are you sure?"
Wow.
Yeah, like I said, a lot of trust, but, like, he taught me everything I needed to know first about, like, setting up my station, breaking it down, all the safety stuff, all of that before I even tattooed the fake skin and in the pig skin too. So I had that covered, but
Yeah,
yeah, it was nerve-wracking for sure.
I was gonna say, how long does it take to kind of learn that setup and takedown process? 'Cause it is a long process, and I know you guys make it look quick after years of experience, but how long did it take?
Yes.
How many times did you have to practice that? Was it a process, or did it come naturally and quick?
Honestly, I think setting up the station was, it took quite a while just to get the hang of, because there is a lot that you have to cover. It's a sanitary procedure that we do as tattoo artists, so we have to make sure, like, the beds are covered, and any pillows and armrests and anything that we are going to touch with gloves, basically, as much as possible. So pretty much anytime I did, like, my early tattoos too, or, like, practicing on the fake skin or pig skin, like, it was just repetitive, and I would have to ask him for help. Like, look at my station. Did I do everything correct before I proceed with anything? So I don't remember how long necessarily it took me, but I know it wasn't that quick either, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does. Yeah, and it's just interesting because one of the things that you'll see on like Instagram or TikTok nowadays are like, make sure your tattoo artist is gloved. And every time they touch something unsanitary, they're sw swapping out gloves and all that kind of stuff. So, like me mentally, I was very cognizant of some of those things. Not when I got my first tattoo, but when I started getting more into tattooing and watching this stuff, I was like, wow, like I noticed everyone they touched something. Okay, the glove came off, new glove came on, and it's that wouldn't seem natural at first.
Definitely not. Yeah, especially also since we use so many gloves, it's kind of like, well, I don't know if everybody feels that way, but as I try to be eco-conscious, you just feel really guilty about the amount of gloves you use. But we use biodegradable or try to use eco-friendly gloves in our studio. So,
Sure. How did you decide, or when did you decide on the style of tattoo that you're going to do, and what went into that thought process?
When I first started tattooing, my mentor made sure to tell me, just be open to everything because you never know what you're gonna like, right? So the type of styles that I was getting tattooed on myself was like bolder line work, just black and gray. And so I always just assumed I would enjoy doing that.
Yep.
But I found that the more I did in that style, I actually did not enjoy it at all.
Okay.
which is kind of weird. I can't even really figure out why I didn't like it. It just wasn't as fun to me as when I started doing other styles like fine line, which was kind of the main one that I actually started during my apprenticeship. Once I had explored other styles, that's what I leaned heavily towards.
Okay. So like the phrase big and bold will hold wasn't going to be your thing.
Definitely not. I do enjoy doing some of those every now and then, but just not as the main focus. So,
Got it, got it. Now, you said you weren't really practicing for very long on the fake skin or the silicone. Can you describe your process going into your first actual tattoo?
Yes, actually. So my first human being client ever was a friend of mine who was also my hairstylist at the time, and she was really tatted up. So
Okay.
that part of it actually made me pretty comfortable because, she already knows what she's getting into. She knows how the process is, how it feels. But she had me tattoo like a large, kind of like floral henna-esque style piece on her entire forearm. Like
Wow.
just the inside, but her
Okay.
entire forearm. She's like, that's yours. I was like, oh, okay, well, here we go, I guess. And the design just had like a lot of circles and curves. And every tattoo artist knows a circle is like one of the most difficult things to tattoo. So,
Yep.
it wasn't an easy one to start with. But so when we first started, I would say like the first 30 minutes at least, I felt kind of like, how when you just have like nervous energy, you kind of feel like your hands just don't feel like completely stable.
Yes, definitely.
So not like they were like shaking all over the place, but it definitely felt like I didn't have like full control. And honestly, the main fear was just that I just didn't want to hurt her because that was kind of the main reasons why I was hesitant to even be a tattoo artist was the idea of putting a needle on somebody. But as you tattoo and you're slowly making conversation with the client, then I got more relaxed and then it just clicked, obviously, in my brain, like, well, duh, I get tattoos too. I know that pain, quote unquote, comes along with it and it's fine. And so after about the 30 minutes, then I felt more normal and relaxed.
Okay.
But I was still very, very intently focused on just getting the lines down, not going too deep, not going too light. And so it was a lot of other things instead. But at
Yeah.
least the nerves went off.
Well, that's good. And how do you think the final product was?
Honestly, when I look back at it now, I'm pretty proud of it. So,
That's really good.
is it my greatest tattoo? Obviously not, but for a first tattoo, I've seen a lot of tattoo artists' first tattoos, and I'm just glad I just didn't have any major blowouts. So let's just
Nice.
say
Well,
that.
congratulations. It definitely sounds like it went pretty well.
Yes.
And how long into your apprenticeship do you think it took you until you started to get some confidence in your ability?
Good question. I would say, I think probably after tattooing, probably around, I don't know, after like 20 clients, I definitely felt like I was more in rhythm then and more confident with what I was doing. I mean, I wasn't thinking that I was gonna nail everything right
Right.
away, but at least I knew with the skills that I had at that time that I would be able to figure things out. And my mentor was very good at being like hands-on and watching me as well, and so that really helped.
Okay.
But yeah, I think that helped like give me the confidence too, because he was always reassuring and he was a very healthy mentor, I would say.
I mean, that's good. If you have someone who's talented and has your back and is supporting you, I think you gain confidence a little bit quicker than if someone's kind of like more hands off and you're like, oh my God, am I doing this right? I'm not sure.
For sure.
During the apprenticeship, did you ever make any big mistakes that you were just like, ooh, that's not good?
I have to think about that. I mean, I don't think I had anything that was ever majorly wrong
Okay. That's
during my
awesome.
apprenticeship.
Okay.
Maybe I just blacked it out, but I can't think
All
of anything at
right.
the moment. At least not anything that like pissed off a client or that I noticed or that they noticed.
Or that you
So,
heard about later. Yeah. Nice.
yeah.
And then what was the best part and the worst part about being an apprentice?
Worst part. I don't know. I think for me, it's just I'm a baby. I like to be in control. I'm
Okay.
very type A person. So I think what I struggled with was just more so the dynamic, like the more I was into my apprenticeship. Not that my mentor was disrespectful at all. He never was. He was actually a really, really great mentor. But I think it was more just the more business side of things, I think,
Okay.
was harder for me because I've always wanted to just work for myself, but I have to, it's not my business and I
Correct.
don't own it at the time. And so I have to just let him make those decisions and then go along with it, right?
Okay.
So it wasn't even really about the apprenticeship necessarily. That was hard for me. It was just basically being an independent artist, but under somebody else still.
Correct. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, so the best part I would say is just the desire to really explore everything and just wanting to do so much. At least that's how I felt when I first started. Like all I wanted to do was tattoo. I'm just like, give me that tattoo, give me that idea. Like I want to try everything and like just the amount of trust that people are willing to give you, especially if you're giving free and discounted tattoos. It's pretty crazy.
Yes.
So, yeah, so it's definitely a lot easier to try new things, I feel, as an apprentice too, because you're learning and people know that. And so it's almost less pressure, I guess. Some people might say it's more pressure because you want it to be perfect, but I feel like it's kind of less pressure because they don't have those expectations, and then you can, go into it still trying your best,
Correct.
but yeah, so
It is interesting because before I got my arm completely covered, I would
yeah.
be like, there's no way I'd give an apprentice any spot to tattoo. I want it to be perfect. I want it
Yes.
clean. I want this. But now that I have a lot more, It's like, okay, there's places I would allow it to happen. And going about choosing your equipment, do you still use the same equipment that you did when you were an apprentice, or did that change over time? Like, how did you choose that?
Yeah, so I definitely don't use the same machine anymore. The first one I ever used, oh man, I might butcher the name. I just remember it was a Cheyenne, but it was a machine that still required like a clip cord
Okay.
and a pedal and all of
Yes.
that, which, a lot of artists still use that, right? But it was definitely a much heavier hitting machine, probably the most heavy hitting machine I've ever used in my career. So I used that one probably for about a year. So La actually provided me with this one because he already had it.
Okay.
And then he gifted me my first official machine of my own, which was the Bronc pen. And so
Okay.
that was the first wireless machine I ever worked with. It was super light, very soft hitting, and this was like a huge game changer for when I like really got into fine line. Like I was already attempting to do fine line with the other machine, which is pretty crazy that I did that at the time when I think
Yeah.
about it. But yeah, the pen definitely made things a lot easier. And then finally, what got me to my most current machine, which is the Cheyenne Soul Nova, was actually when I started being interested in microrealism. And so I followed this artist at the time. Her name is Ginkgos on Instagram. And, I was just like perusing her comments and her posts and stuff like that to see if I could see like what machine she worked with. And then I think one day she just posted on her story, like had people ask her questions, and then she posted the Cheyenne Soul Nova. And I was like, well, I want to do tattoos like her, so I guess I will upgrade to that machine.
That's awesome.
And that was literally my thought process. And I mean, I still love it a lot. But I am thinking about upgrading to the new Cheyenne Soul Nova this year, hopefully.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I will say I personally prefer the pens versus like the loud pedal coil machines
Oh,
of old. I've never been tattooed
yes.
by one, but I definitely know and have heard stories that they're a lot rougher on the skin and they definitely hurt a little more.
Oh, yes, they can pack a punch, that's for sure. Pros and cons to every machine, right? For every style you do. But overall, yes, the coil machines do tend to hit harder and can feel more painful. So.
Nice. Okay, so you were apprentice and an artist under law for around 2 years, and then you
Yes.
decided to move along and open your own studio. How long were you
Yes.
thinking of doing that while you were working for law?
I think both Law and I always knew that it was going to happen eventually, but just not sure on what the timeline was going to be on that. Because with apprenticeships in general, there's not really a specific timeline for how long those go either. It's all dependent on, how fast you grow, if your mentor thinks you're ready and all that jazz.
Yep.
So I think with the way that things rolled out after the 2 year mark, La was actually going to be moving to a new studio. And so I had helped with the move, and then I was there temporarily, but I think during that time I had already been starting to look for my own place, and
Okay.
he knew that too. So yeah, he was very supportive of it, and he basically gave me like a really great deal. Like my last year, he was like, hey, like I know you want to open up your own place, so if you would like, you can just keep everything you make and then just help pitch in for supplies whenever you can. And
Wow.
so yeah, like I told you, he was a very great mentor. I considered him definitely my life mentor in college before he became my tattoo mentor.
Okay.
So it was kind of nice that we already had that kind of relationship, that this was just another person who really believed in me and wanted the best for me. And so,
That's amazing.
yeah,
You
so during that time,
had a lot of
oh, go ahead.
amazing, supportive people in your life, and yeah.
That's why I can't find many reasons to complain about any situation that I land in.
what went into starting your own studio? So you needed to find a space, have all of your own stuff. Describe that process of what you had to get in order to finally make that move.
Yeah, so all right, this is like a little semi-embarrassing, but like when I was doing my apprenticeship, I didn't even know how to do like my own taxes, like as an independent like person who's not under like a company that gives you like a tax form, right?
Yes.
So yeah, so I didn't like I had money obviously going in and out of my bank accounts from tattooing, right? But I didn't have like official tax documents to provide to a lot of places. And also,
Yes.
actually, when you are looking for a commercial space, a lot of landlords or building owners actually don't really like the idea of tattoo studios or tattoo parlors just because of negative connotations that come along with it. So,
Understood.
yeah, so that was the difficult part, was just first finding a place that would even want a tattoo studio, and then obviously a place that would accept my bank information. And so, yeah, I know, so ghetto. But, I was lucky that I found, well, so I actually didn't even find the Hyde House. That's where my studio is now. I found Lincoln Warehouse, but they're owned by the same company, same group. And so I found a listing for one of their studios in on Craigslist of all places. The pictures were so tiny and pixelated, but I saw like the industrial vibe and was
Yes.
like, sure, why not? Let's check it out. And so we went to go tour the Lincoln Warehouse, and they had like the concrete floors, the exposed piping, and large windows. I loved it. And I was like, oh, this is the place. But then the owner who was giving us the tour, he was like, why don't we, are you guys interested in seeing our other building? Because whenever we do these tours, people always fall in love with the opposite building of the one that they were first touring. And so I was like, sure, why not? It's like 2 minutes away. And then my actual studio that I'm in now was the first one he showed me. And as soon as I saw that Cream City brick, I was like, yes, this is the one.
Yes.
So then I was lucky because they were just like, yeah, just give us your bank statements as proof of income or whatever. And then that's fine because the building is called Hyde House Creative, and they really try to cater to creative business owners, small or big. And that was just really awesome how flexible they were. Yeah, so other than that, after I signed the lease, you have to get licensing and like occupancy permits and all that jazz. So it took about at least 6 months.
Wow.
Like the yeah, 6 months like to find a place and get all that in order, and then probably an additional like 3 months to get all the licensing and permits. So
Okay. So were you still tattooing
yeah.
at Law's shop up until that point?
Nope, I was not.
Wow.
So
Okay.
I, yeah. So then my supportive husband, fiance at the time, actually, he wasn't even my fiance at the time. He was just my boyfriend. He was very supportive of my journey. So then, yeah. So I was basically living between his place and my mom's place, just trying to figure this out and just focus on getting everything done right. But like I had mentioned before, during my last year with my mentor, when he helped me save all that money, that also helped me like stay afloat, especially during COVID once things shut down. So
Definitely.
yeah,
Definitely.
so I did save a lot, so I didn't necessarily need to work during this time.
Okay. And then how did, and I, you kind of explained it earlier, but how did you come up with the name K Inks? And I kind of know that there's kind of two meanings behind it if you wanted to explain both.
Yeah, so it's nothing major or deep. It's basically just K's initial for my name, Kayla, and then Inks, except I just didn't want to do INKS like, I don't know, like a lot of other
Yes.
usernames. Not saying that mine's super unique anyways, but yeah, originally I did want it to be K.INX, so it could be easily read as Kinks, but that was already taken. So
Ah.
yeah, yep. So, but I mean, the underscore worked, and I would have clients ask too. They're like, is it K Inks or is it Kinks? I kind of like it being Kinks. And I was like, You know, I'm glad that you noticed that because I do like the play on words of it sounding like cakes too.
And
So.
it's funny because that went right over my head until you explained it to me the other day, and I was like, oh man, I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
And
That's
how
why I have it all together in my Instagram but bio, but
There you go. And how long did it take to put the aesthetic together, putting all the plants and pictures, and how long did that take to design the space?
Yeah, so I just always knew I wanted things, a lot of black, a lot of black and a lot of just clean, modern, like furniture, so to speak. But I didn't become a plant mom until like during the pandemic, actually. So I never expected to have plants in the studio, but it was just a happy surprise that I got
Okay.
into them. But then, you know, I was grateful that it happened because it made the space feel a lot more homey and a lot more comfy
And
instead of
warm,
like, you know,
yeah.
just, yeah, exactly. And it really just complemented the brick that was inside. And yeah, I just always really have liked the industrial vibes, but like make it comfy. So it's definitely been a progress.
Okay.
And I feel like every time clients come to the studio, something else has changed, but like in a good way though.
Yeah, I look forward to coming and checking it out because it definitely changed between the first and the second time. So, and now that you have another name change, I'm ready to check it out. And I will say one interesting thing about your studio, or I should say the Hyde House building, is that the room numbers don't go in order. So when Katie and I, we're getting our first tattoo, we're both a little bit nervous, and I'm telling Katie, I have directions on how to get into the place. She's like, directions? What are you talking about? And I was like, no, like, trust me, we need the directions. And so we're going in, and I can't remember. What's the number?
329.
329. So we're going down the hallway, and we get to a number, and she's like, oh, we passed it. And I was like, no, we haven't passed it. And she's like, no, the numbers. And I was like, no, it's said in the directions. They're not in order. And sure enough, we go a couple more down, and there's your door. So, but once we got inside, the nerves came down a little bit, and it was cool.
Oh, I feel so bad for the first clients that came when I first opened the studio, because by the time you guys came, the third floor was done, right?
Yes.
But when I had first moved into my studio, only the hallway I was in was done. And everything else that you see in the third floor now, where the bathrooms are, those units, it was all empty and it looked abandoned. And I would tell them, I swear I'm up here. Just keep going until you find the last hallway.
Yeah, I would say that'd probably be pretty intimidating. You're going to your getting your first tattoo, you're already kind of nervous. Oh man. It's a fantastic space, and I would, if anybody's thinking about getting a fine line tattoo, go to the Hyde House. It's a great spot. You can't go
Yes,
wrong.
thank you so much. And there's three tattoo studios in there now, so
Oh,
you got
nice.
options.
All right. Now, as you were starting the K Inks, how did you get new clients?
So a lot of my clients followed me from my apprenticeship days, but then honestly, I think the more I just did fine line, I did a lot of I never really did too much promoting other than just like hashtags in my Instagram posts.
Okay.
And so when I started focusing more on the fine line stuff, I always put those in the hashtags. And surprisingly, a lot of people actually found me that way. Because, you know, in the early days, right? Like you said, how do I get clients? If I just started my
Correct.
business, I would always be curious and ask, like, oh, how did you hear about me? And so, very common answer was hashtags.
Okay.
Or Facebook groups.
Wow, okay.
Like I had clients that were like in mom groups or whatever, and they would just be like, who's a fine line artist do you know? And then they would tag me and stuff like that. And so that was really cool to hear. And then, you know, it just kind of trickled down from there.
Yep, and the way I found you is I wanted to get a finger tattoo. And
Oh yeah.
not a lot of artists will tattoo hands if you don't have any other tattoos, and they won't do hands, period,
Yes.
just because it's tough to tattoo and that
Yep.
sort of thing. So I found a tattoo that you had done on someone's finger, and I was like, Katie, you will not believe this. She's up in Milwaukee. Let's go. And yeah, so that's how we found you through Instagram. So.
That's so funny. I don't think I even knew that story before I tattooed you.
Yeah. Yep. So Instagram for the win.
I love it when Instagram actually works.
Yeah, I know, right? So every artist does things a little bit differently, but how does a prospective client get in touch with you to start the process of having you as their tattoo artist?
Yeah, so I feel like I make it pretty easy and straightforward. I have a website, it's linked in my Instagram bio, and we have a whole FAQ page detailing almost nearly anything you would need to know about the process and how to book. And I'm constantly posting updates on my stories, and I have my Instagram highlights that have even more information in case you need that. But I'm always open to receiving emails for questions that can't be answered on the FAQ. I think people forget this too. It is in the FAQ, but if people are interested and they ever want to just have a email consultation, I'm always free to do that before they even try to submit for anything. And it kind of gives them a better idea if it's something I can do for them before they try submitting. So yeah, I feel like it's a pretty easy process.
That's what I did, but I emailed you, but I'm not gonna lie, I was pretty intimidated at the time.
For sure. Yeah. I feel like just the way tattooing has shifted with Instagram, right? That everything is like a lot of tattoo artists are appointment only now, right? So you do, as a client, from a client's perspective, and even me, when I get tattoos, right, from other tattoo artists, I'm just like, all right, I just want to make sure I follow all their rules,
Yes.
all their steps to do it correctly. But I think if you reach out to a good artist and you just genuinely have questions and have done the research, they're always more than willing to help.
Okay. Now you mentioned a little bit of the research. What do you think clients should know about the process of getting a tattoo before they decide to actually get one?
Yeah, so I think first and foremost, think about what you actually want. If you can either take screenshots of styles that you have found on Instagram or Pinterest, that'll kind of give you a better idea of finding an artist who does similar works. I feel like the biggest thing that goes wrong getting a tattoo is not researching your artist and then not having an artist who's excited to bring your vision to life, whether it's serious or not. I think it's important that your artist is just as excited as you to do your piece for you, and it just makes the whole experience better for both parties. So, yeah.
Very nice. And how often do you have to say, or not have to, how often do you say no to people's ideas?
I feel like I've reached a point in my career now where most people have a pretty good understanding of what I am willing to do and styles that I'm not interested in or don't do. And also, I try to list those things every time I open my books too. So before people even submit, they can kind of refer to that list to, know what I'm not taking.
Yeah.
I feel like it's easier to say the things that I'm not interested in than the other way around.
Correct.
Yeah,
Do
so it's not too often.
and do people ever contact you and be like, "Oh, I'm disappointed that you don't do dog portraits or whatever the case may be."
Yes. But they totally understand though, and I've never had anyone that was mad about it,
Okay.
and yeah, I still have some people who do submit for that and try anyways. They're like, just in case you are interested. But I don't think they take it too personally if it
Okay.
doesn't get chosen, because for the most part they do know.
Yeah, definitely. If you follow your
But can't
page.
blame them for trying. Yeah, exactly.
And so what are some of your highlights of the beginning years of K Inks?
Oh, yeah. Favorite highlights at the beginning, honestly, was just kind of having the freedom of just having my own space.
Okay.
But like making it whatever I wanted it to be. It was kind of like a blank canvas, and I just felt like not just the studio itself, but also like my clientele, right? And just kind of cultivating that. And I pretty much had like regulars early on, and that was just very awesome to see. And yeah, I feel like that's kind of just how it's progressed, where I just get to meet so many amazing people, and it just keeps going.
Yeah.
And I think that will always be surreal to me. It's just that.
How does that
Oh,
feel
yeah.
for people to come to you and give you full 100% trust to come up with a creative idea that they're going to have on their skin for the rest of their life? Like how does that feel?
Pretty wild, honestly. Like, I mean, I know I have gotten to a point where I do that with artists now too when I get tattooed, but still, like, I'm the one tattooing them, especially like first timers too, and just like some of the tattoos that first timers are willing to get, or even if they're not a first timer, if I've tattooed them like more than 3 times or whatever, and still, just the fact that someone likes my art enough and my entrust my skill enough to put something on them forever is wild.
Yeah, I can
It
only imagine. It's pretty cool, I must say.
yeah, I definitely consider it a very big honor to do that for anybody.
Definitely. And what were some of the challenges that you faced that you might not have, that you weren't thinking that you would have?
I think just as a tattoo artist and my personality, I can be a people pleaser.
Okay.
And so that was the hard part, honestly, was just kind of finding my own boundaries and how much I was willing to like let things slide, And I know a lot of people don't do it intentionally, but at a certain point, you just don't want burnout, and you don't want to end up hating your job. And so I was very lucky that my husband now, he was always a good balance for that, because he's a much more logical person.
Okay.
And so if I ever had these issues, he would just kind of explain it to me and tell me what to do in those
Nice.
cases.
Give you new ideas
Yeah,
that
I
you weren't
mean, I
thinking
was
of.
Yes, for sure. I mean, I was very stubborn about it, obviously, but
Yeah,
there's a
definitely.
balance.
Okay. And after about 3 years at K Inks, you decided to become a mentor and take on an apprenticeship. How did that go, or what went into that?
So when I had first opened up my studio, in like probably in the first or second year, I had quite a few people reach out to me about apprenticeships, but I just felt like I didn't have enough time in my own space yet on my own to really even truly know what I was doing. And
Yeah.
I don't even really consider myself to be an expert at all. There's still so much to learn, but I think finally, after 3 years, was when I was finally feeling confident enough in myself to be open to the idea of perhaps teaching someone else what I know. And because, I'm so grateful and lucky to have this career that I just basically get to do art for a living, and
Hell
it's
yeah.
fun and it's creative. Yeah. And so for someone else to be able to experience that, I wanted to be able to help in that. And so I wasn't even actively searching, but it was just when I kind of made like the mental decision that I would be open to conversations about it, that my husband and I were at a coffee shop one day with our friend Ka, and she was telling us that she was feeling burnt out from her current job, and she had actually gone to school for art education. And she was telling us, she was like, "I'm thinking about going back to school for art therapy." And I just kind of blurted it out without thinking, but I was like, no, fuck that. Just come and tattoo with me. Like, that's art therapy. And
Exactly.
I kind of like half said it as a joke, half not, but she just kind of laughed, and then nothing really came out of that conversation. But then a week later, she was like, hey, so if you're actually serious, I'd be interested in shadowing you just to see if it's something I'd be interested in. And so I think what made the decision a little easier for me to take her on was that she was already a really good friend of mine. We had that trust and respect for each other.
Okay.
And I just knew she wouldn't be that type of person that would ever like take advantage of me. 'Cause you know, it can be tricky working with friends, right?
Yes,
But
for sure.
she's just always been a super empathetic, very kind and respectful person. And so, yeah, we just kind of not practice, felt it out, and it just felt right. And so she didn't immediately become my apprentice, and but she sat in for about like a month deciding if this was something she actually wanted to pursue, and then we finally made the decision to do it.
Very,
So
I mean, it's smart that you took your time instead of just going,
yeah.
"Hey, let's do it." And all of a sudden, a week in, she's like, "Oh shit, I hate this."
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's cool. And then, as we were talking before about taking on an apprentice,
Yeah.
you talked about imposter syndrome.
Oh, yes.
Can you tell me about how this affected you and what you did to overcome that?
Yeah, so I mean, I feel like if anyone's ever truly passionate about themselves or passionate about something, then it's natural to feel imposter syndrome, right? Because if you actually care about what you do, you always question everything.
Correct.
And so I think the biggest thing for me was that what I kind of lacked in my apprenticeship experiences was the more technical side of tattooing. So a lot of what I learned was just like intuitive and kind of like figuring it out by feel
Okay, yep.
instead of the technical stuff like gauge of like needle cartridges or like the voltage and whatever and like the differences in that. And so like just as an artist, I felt like I didn't know enough compared to others, especially to become a mentor, right?
Okay.
But then as a mentor, I was like, okay, well, if I don't know that shit, then how can I even teach somebody else? But I feel like the information is so easy to learn now, the technical stuff from just like so many different resources, like amazing resources out on like YouTube or like other tattoo artists that are just constantly sharing like really important information. And so my approach to being a mentor was more so like I can help you kind of become the best artist that you can be in this field and how to market yourself and all the business side of things that you would
Yes.
need to know, along with just finding the mental and physical balance of what tattooing entails and just pushing yourself, you know. And I got really lucky with Ka and Gigi that they were both just the type of people who just were very hungry to learn, and they never held back from asking me questions. They've always been so initiative and like wanting to have one-on-one time to practice certain techniques. And you know, it was my first apprenticeship with Ka definitely taught me a lot. And so with Gigi, I felt like it went a little smoother in how I approached things.
Okay.
So yeah, I definitely don't think the process is perfect. I don't think that I'm like the most amazing mentor, but I think with the apprentices that I was able to have and the relationships we had prior just kind of made those or made the process a lot easier for all of us.
Good. And of course, the more you do it, the better you're gonna get
For sure.
with
Yep.
anything. So yeah, it makes sense that it
Yeah.
got a little easier with Gigi, and I'm sure just knowing, you're a little nervous about this, I'm leading someone into, a career path here, and that's a
For
lot of
sure.
weight on your shoulders.
Yes, definitely. But I think that's also like reaffirming the, I guess, belief in myself that I can do this and I do
Yes.
know some stuff. And so, yeah, it's been great to have them around to just kind of remind me of that too. So,
Nice. And besides the people that you
yeah.
mentor, it seems like you love to support other artists and have on your Instagram page, you have an entire section of recommended
Yes.
artists in the area. Why did you decide to do
Yes.
this, and how do you go about actually recommending others?
Yeah, so honestly the first reason why I even created it in the first place was just because I felt like it's difficult for people to just search on social media for like find my artists, especially in the Midwest, right?
Okay.
Like we get everything last in the Midwest. And so I felt like I was doing a lot of the fine line tattoos, especially when I first opened K Inks. I was just doing fine line all the time and I loved it, obviously, but then I felt like I couldn't do them all.
Yes.
And I wanted to, but I'm just one person. And so when I would find a fine line artist that just happened to be in the Midwest, I would start recommending them like via email to some people, right, who wouldn't get appointments and
Okay.
stuff. And I think that just happened so often that I was just like, you know what? Why don't I just make a highlight? And then that way it's all in one spot and people can just look there. And it always meant a lot to me when artists supported me and like being able to do that in return, like those small little gestures go a long way in just building connections and relationships with people that it's just better for everybody, you know? And
Definitely, and
a lot of times you just start trading clients with other artists, and that's actually really fun and cool to see. Like, oh, hey, like I got tattooed by so and so, and they told me about you, and then vice versa.
Yep,
And now
yep.
they just have a collection of tattoos from all these amazing artists. So,
And you are kind of like building a community when you're doing all of this too.
yeah, yep,
Which is really cool. So after 5 years at K Ink Studio, you decided to change the name to Black Sheep Culture, which I freaking love, by the way.
Yes. Thank you.
What went into the decision to make that name change?
Like I mentioned earlier, K Inks was always just gonna be a placeholder name, but I just never felt like anything else sounded like natural or to like what I wanted it to be
Okay.
or exciting enough. But the name Black Sheep Culture was actually created by my cousin Justin, who is also a creative himself, super talented creative, and he named his first clothing line Black Sheep Culture. And this, I don't even know how long ago this was now. I'm pretty sure it was like 5 years ago too.
Okay.
And I just immediately loved the name, and I've just always resonated with it, you know, considering myself a black sheep and just like being a woman in tattooing, being a person of color in tattooing, an Asian woman, of course, where in Asian culture, tattoos are highly taboo. And so it just kind of all made sense. And I never thought about that name being the name for my studio, but eventually he retired that name and rebranded. And now he's doing a bunch of other cool stuff and never went back to Black Sheep Culture. So I hit him up and I was like, hey, Justin, so if you're not using this name anymore, like, would you be okay if I took over the name for my studio? And obviously I would give you the credit. You would have your credit on the website and stuff like that. And he was so excited, and that made me so happy because he was like, yes, Black Sheep Culture lives on in the family. And
Yeah,
so,
passing it to the fam. Nice.
So it just felt really natural because I have just always latched on to that name. And he's just very good at branding, honestly. But yeah, and so when I talked to Ka and Gigi about it, they absolutely loved it, resonated with them immediately as well. Both of them also feeling like the black sheep in their families. So
Yep, same.
yeah, it was just the vibe. It was just the vibe.
Nice. All right, so now I'm gonna change up the questions a little bit, just a little
Yeah.
more shorter or short answer questions about
Sounds good.
tattooing.
Yes.
So what's something that most people don't realize about being a tattoo artist?
Oh, short answer, but I got to think about
Sorry, this is a tough one for the start, first one.
that. No, you're good. What they don't realize about tattoo artists. I think honestly the behind the scenes part of it, of being a tattoo artist, because I even feel like a lot of tattoo artists who are new to it don't realize what it entails.
Correct, yes.
Like, yeah, you got to be a social media person. You got to manage emails, or if you don't do emails, then just be very extremely organized, because it just makes your life so much easier. So
I can
that
imagine
I'll go
so.
with that answer.
Okay,
Yep.
cool. What's the craziest request you've ever received?
Craziest request. Surprisingly, I don't get too many, but someone, well, actually, I guess someone would consider this crazy. I have tattooed an armpit.
Nice. I heard that hurts.
Yes.
Heard that hurts real
Yes.
bad.
It's supposed to be very painful, but she sat like a rock. So,
Nice.
yeah.
And what was it?
We did a mandala.
Okay,
And the only reason
sweet.
why I even said yes was because she had her other armpit tattooed already. So that was cool.
Cool. What's the
Yep.
funniest tattoo idea you've ever worked with?
Funniest tattoo idea. Oh, I have this client and he just always gives me the most entertaining ideas. So the most recent tattoo we did for him was he sent me a blurry photo of the sad emoji laying down. He kind of almost looks like the yellow M&M because he has legs and arms, but he's laying down on his back and he just looks very sad.
I like it.
And yes.
Has anyone ever passed out on you?
No, thank goodness.
Okay, good.
Two close times, but they didn't, so
Good,
knock
good.
on wood.
And did they eat beforehand, if you know?
I believe they did, but I think it was just the nerves.
Wow.
I
Okay.
believe both times it was their first tattoos, and maybe they just didn't hydrate enough right before.
Okay. What's the worst thing someone has brought to the studio to eat?
A lot of people don't bring things to eat, honestly. They feel bad. So, yeah, no one's ever brought anything weird. But I will say the most interesting thing someone brought was this group of three friends, and one of them brought almost like a whole like charcuterie spread, or like in a container, you know? So I
Yeah.
thought that was pretty well prepared.
Better come from better to over prepare than under prepare.
Exactly.
Why in the
Yeah.
world are there so many different aftercare instructions from different artists? This one always gets me fired up.
Yeah, so I think just a lot of tattoo artists kind of know how their tattoos tend to heal after like a certain process that they've developed. And so if one way yielded good results, then they just tend to stick by it. And so,
Okay.
yeah, I think that's really the only answer I can give you.
That makes sense. No, that makes a lot of sense. Do you have a favorite tattoo? And that can be either your favorite tattoo on you or one that you've done.
One on me, well, one of my most beautiful tattoos is on my upper back, and I can't see it, unfortunately. It's like a floral ornamental piece that was also a partial cover up, but I
Okay.
love it. I
Nice.
love
Well,
all my tattoos, but that's the big one that I can't see.
it's for everybody else though, right?
Yes, exactly.
What is your favorite tattoo trend right now?
Ooh, favorite tattoo trend. I feel like it changes. I really did like the stamps. I mean, I still do, because I think that the stamp is like a blank slate and people can put whatever they want in it.
Okay.
So that's pretty fun. I've been loving the disco balls too. I feel like every disco ball I've done just happens to be so different too. So that's been really fun. But I've been getting really into the abstract stuff. So that's kind of another trend that I've been really into lately and trying to explore more.
Nice. I'm all about the abstract. That's my whole sleeve.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, awesome. I can't wait to see it,
Yeah, it's amazing. I'll actually send I'll send it to you. I'll show it to you after the show.
Yeah, heck yeah.
How many tattoos have you given yourself?
Myself. Let's see. One, two, probably just three. I'm a big wimp when it comes to tattooing myself.
Okay. And why is that?
Actually, because I hurt. And I want to stop mentally, but I can't. And so I try not to tattoo myself,
Okay.
actually, if I can help
That's fair.
it. Yes, that's my
What?
only excuse. It just hurts.
It does. It
Yeah.
definitely does. What is your favorite part of the tattoo process?
Honestly, just like when I'm right in the zone.
Okay.
I know that's so cliche, but like the actual like tattooing part, or like the, if I want to be very specific, the very short moment during like a break, like midway or three quarters of the way, and I take a step back and look at what I'm doing.
Okay. Okay.
Yes.
Cool. And last one on these, what is the coolest part of being a tattoo artist?
Oh man, just I don't know. I make my own schedule and I get to do cool shit every day. So I've reached a point in my career now where I get to basically pick and choose whatever I want to do. And yeah, if I chose your idea, it's because I'm all about it and it's awesome for me and awesome for them. So
Nice. Yeah, and it sounds like
yeah.
you have a lot of freedom to choose,
Yes.
which is
Yeah.
very, very nice to have.
Yes. I'm very grateful.
So, being a tattoo artist, you kind of just naturally have to be creative. About 6 months ago, you surprised me on your Instagram page with releasing an EP on Spotify.
Oh,
Now,
yes.
as we've kind of communicated back and forth, I find out you used to have a YouTube channel.
Oh, yes.
Can you explain some of these other creative outlets you have and why they are so important?
Yeah, so I mean, along with drawing, like music has always been a huge part of my life. My mom's side of the family is very musically talented. People on my dad's side are as well. And so, yeah, I've just always grew up in doing choir. Took a few years of piano lessons and whatever. Always just loved to sing. And so, did my YouTube channel in eighth grade, and that was a whole thing. And so, that's how I got more into songwriting. And yeah, so now I'm just a lot more picky with it. So
Okay.
whatever I do right now and want to fully realize into like an actual production, I'll just post on Spotify now, which isn't a lot, but you know, I'm happy with where it's at. It's a hobby.
It's a
So
hobby, exactly. But it's really
yeah.
cool that you're still like, doing stuff, creative stuff outside of being a tattoo artist.
Oh yes. Yeah, I feel like I'm always trying random things because tattooing is just like as much as I love it, you know, it is mentally draining and it's a lot of drawing. And so when I'm not tattooing, I don't want to draw as
Yeah.
much anymore. And so yeah, you just got to find other things to do.
Cool. I don't have anything else to ask you, Kayla, but I would like to give you the floor if there's anything else you'd like to say before we close.
Well, let's see. Honestly, I think people should take the risks to do what they want to be happy because the trade-off is very worth it. I just feel like in tattooing, I get to meet so many amazing people and a lot of them aren't doing what they love, and it just makes me sad, and I just want that for them too. Everybody should have that, you know?
I completely agree. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Kayla. Everyone, please go.
Thank you, Dave.
You're welcome. Very welcome. Everyone, please go check out Kayla's website and her Instagram page. They'll be in the show notes. If you want some ink, hopefully you've learned a thing or two today, and I hope I've helped you in your decision in any way. Bye, everyone.